Welcome to Base by Base. Today, we're diving into something absolutely fundamental, how our cells copy their DNA with, well, almost unbelievable accuracy.
It has to be accurate. Errors or mutations can have serious consequences.
Right, things like cancer, inherited genetic diseases. The stakes are incredibly high. Our focus is going to be on one of the star players in this process, human DNA polymerase epsilon. You'll often hear it called PolE.
That's right. Polling is a real workhorse enzyme. Its main job during DNA replication is synthesizing what we call the leading strand. But it's more than just a builder. It's got this fantastic built-in editing function, too.
Ah, so it checks its own work.
Exactly. It's a dual-function enzyme. It has the polymerase site where it adds new DNA bases, the A's, T's, C's, and G's. And then it has another site, the 3' to 5' exonuclease site. This is the editing or proofreading site.
And how far apart are these sites? Does the DNA have to travel much?
They're about 40 angstroms apart.
Yeah.
But on a molecular scale, is a fair distance within the enzyme itself. Maybe the width of a few DNA base pairs stacked up. So if PolE accidentally puts in the wrong base, a mismatch, it can sense this. It then has to sort of pause synthesis and shuffle the end of that newly made DNA strand over to the exonuclease site, the editing bay, if you like.
To snip out the mistake.
Precisely. It cuts out the wrong base, and then synthesis can resume correctly. This proofreading is absolutely critical for the high fidelity of DNA replication.
So it builds, makes a mistake, hits undo, basically, and then carries on. Seems efficient.
Very efficient and crucial.
But here's the interesting part, and really the core of what we're discussing today. Even though we've known about PolE and its proofreading for a while, understanding precisely how it carries out this error correction in its natural context has been, well, a bit of a black box.
It really has.
Especially when it's working with its essential partner, the PCNA sliding clamp.
Yes, the PCNA clamp is key. You can think of it like a ring that slides onto the DNA double helix.
Like a donut.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
And it encircles the DNA and tethers the polymerase. Polanos, in this case, to the DNA strand.
Ah, so it stops the polymerase from just floating away after copying a few bases.
Exactly. It confers processivity. That means PolE can synthesize really long stretches of DNA without dissociating. In the cell, PolE always works with PCNA.
Okay, so that's the first condition for seeing the real process. PolE needs to be with PCNA. What else?
The second condition, and this has been the real challenge, is that you need to see what happens when the error, the mismatch, is created by the enzyme itself during the ongoing synthesis process.
In situ generated mismatch, right, as it happens.
Precisely. Not just giving the enzyme DNA that already has a mistake built into it.
Why is that distinction so important?
Because the DNA has to follow its natural path within the enzyme complex. When a mismatch is made during synthesis, the DNA end is already at the polymerase active site. For proofreading, it needs to move from that site to the exonuclease site. If you just provide DNA with a pre-existing mismatch from the outside, it might not engage with the enzyme complex in the same way. It might not be able to access that path from the polymerase site to the exonuclease site correctly, especially when the PCNA clamp is present.
I see. So previous studies might have struggled because they either didn't have the PCNA clamp involved or they used these pre-made errors or maybe both.
Often, yes.
Yeah.
It was difficult to set up an experiment that met both criteria simultaneously, the full polling PCNA complex and generating the error in situ. This limited our understanding of the true physiological mechanism.
Okay, so the stage is set. The challenge, capture this dynamic proofreading event in action with all the key players present. And that brings us squarely to the work we're focusing on today. It's a study published in PNAS, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, in 2025 by Dr. Feng Wang and colleagues.
Yes, a really elegant piece of work using cryo-electron microscopy, or cryo-EM.
Cryo-EM allows scientists to get incredibly detailed, almost atomic-level pictures of biological molecules, right?
Exactly. They essentially flash-freeze the molecules in various states and then use electron microscopy and sophisticated image processing to reconstruct their 3D structures.
So Dr. Wang and the team set out to use cryo-EM to visualize the human PolE enzyme bound to its PCNA clamp interacting with DNA. And crucially, they compared what happened when they used DNA with a pre-existing mismatch versus allowing PolE to make the mistake itself in situ.
That comparison was key, and the results were quite striking.
Let's start with the pre-existing mismatch. What did they see when they gave the polling PCNA complex the Hall enzyme DNA that already had an error?
They found something really interesting. The complex essentially got stuck. They termed it a blocked state.
Blocked how?
The DNA with the pre-existing mismatch could bind to the Hall enzyme, but the mismatch itself seemed unable to move into the correct position to be proofread. It couldn't access the exonuclease site. The interpretation is that the PCNA clamp, tightly encircling the DNA downstream of the polymerase, strongly constrains the DNA's flexibility and movement. When the error is already present, the DNA coming from the outside just can't maneuver past these constraints to get to the editing site.
Wow. So this suggests that many previous experiments using pre-made errors with clamped polymerases might have been looking at an artifact, a blocked state that doesn't represent actual proofreading.
It strongly suggests that, yes, it implies that for POLA, when it's working with PCNA, the error must arise during synthesis for the proofreading pathway to be engaged correctly.
Okay, so that makes the in situ experiment where POLA made the mistake itself absolutely critical. What did they find then?
That's where they capture the real action. By setting up the reaction so POLA would incorporate a mismatch while bound to PCNA, they were able to visualize intermediates in the proofreading process. They identified three distinct structural states.
Three steps in the proofreading bands, what were they?
They called them the mismatch locking state, the pullback tracking state, and the mismatch editing state.
Okay, let's walk through those. Mismatch locking state first. What happens there?
So this is right after POLA incorporates the wrong nucleotide. The enzyme senses this. Part of the polymerase, the fingers domain, which usually closes around the correct incoming base, flips open. This stops synthesis immediately.
Halts the production line. Makes sense.
Yes, but here's a twist. Structurally, they saw that the entire enzyme actually shifted forward along the DNA by one base pair.
Forward, not backward. That seems weird. Why forward?
It does seem counterintuitive, but the idea is that this forward translocation locks the mismatch in place just downstream of the now empty polymerase active site. It prevents the enzyme from accidentally adding another base onto the incorrect end.
Okay. Securing the error before dealing with it. And PCNA. Still attached.
Oh, yes. PCNA remains stably bound throughout. It's the anchor.
Right. So, state one. Mismatch made. Synthesis stops. Enzyme nudges forward slightly, locking the error. What's next? The pullback tracking state.
Pullback tracking, yes. Now the system prepares to move the error to the editing site. What they saw was the DNA starting to unwind locally, near the mismatch. The very end of the primer strand is the strand being synthesized, which now has the wrong base at its 3-foot tip, starts to peel away from the template strand.
It frays like the end of a rope.
Exactly, it frays. And that 3-foot end begins its journey towards the exonucleocyte's entry channel.
How does the enzyme help this happen?
They observed specific movements in the POLA structure. The thumb domain, another part of the polymerase, shifts away from a region called the P domain. The P domain is actually unique to POLA among replicative polymerases.
Okay, so the thumb moves away from this special P domain.
Which seems to create the necessary space, yeah, allowing the DNA to unwind and the primer end to start moving. Importantly, even with these internal rearrangements, POLA maintains its strong 3-point connection to the PCNA clamp.
So the clamp isn't just holding it on the DNA, it's also kind of guiding these internal movements during proofreading.
That appears to be the case. It provides a stable platform and likely helps orchestrate the transition.
Fascinating. Okay, so mismatch locked, then DNA frays and the error starts moving. What's the final state they captured?
The mismatch editing state. This is the destination.
The error arrives at the delete button.
Precisely. The 3-bit end of the primer, with the incorrect base, has now translocated about 15 angstroms from where it was initially locked. And it's now sitting perfectly within the active site of the exonuclease domain, ready to be cleaved off.
15 angstroms, that's that significant internal movement we talked about earlier.
Yes. And again, even in this editing configuration, the main polling core is still stably associated with PCNA.
Incredible. Capturing these three states is a huge step forward. But you mentioned surprises in the structural details, especially in that editing state.
Yes, some really unexpected findings when they look closely at the DNA structure within the editing state, specifically comparing it to models based on other polymerases, often studied without the clamp.
What was the biggest surprise?
The extent of DNA unwinding. Previous studies on related polymerases suggested maybe 3 base pairs of the DNA duplex unwind during proofreading transfer.
Just enough to expose the error, presumably?
Right. But in the polling PCNA Hall enzyme caught in the act of proofreading an in situ mismatch, Dr. Wang and colleagues observed a much more dramatic unwinding.
How much more?
6 base pairs. double the previously expected amount, a whole segment of the newly synthesized DNA duplex is melted apart.
6 base pairs! That's a significant stretch of DNA to unzip just for proofreading. Was that the only surprise?
No, perhaps even more surprising was what happened to those unwound strands. They didn't just hang loose.
What did they do?
They kind of scrunched up. The single template strand and the single primer strand folded back on themselves and actually formed new out-of-register base pairs with each other downstream from the exonucleocyte.
Wait, the unwound strands paired up again, but incorrectly. Mismatched.
Yes. Their structure showed this scrunched region contained, I think, 4 mismatched base pairs, and kind of randomly, 2 pairs that happened to be correct GC pairs just by chance in their sequence.
Out of register pairing. Scrunching. That sounds messy. Why would the enzyme allow or even promote that? What's the point?
The researchers propose a really clever functional role for this. By forming this scrunched out-of-register structure, the inner part of the primer strand and the bases just behind the actual error at the 3-fit end gets tucked away and protected.
Ah, so it physically ensures that only the very last base, the incorrect one, is exposed and accessible in the exonuclease active site.
That's the hypothesis. It provides exquisite specificity, making sure the enzyme only cuts off the single terminal mismatch and doesn't accidentally chew back further into the correctly synthesized DNA.
That's incredibly elegant, actually, turning potential messiness into precision. Do they have any idea why Polle does this particular scrunching?
They noted that Polle has a relatively short beta hairpin loop structure within its exonuclease domain compared to some other polymerases.
Mm.
They suggest the shorter loop might not be able to keep the 2 unwound DNA strands effectively separated over that 6 base pair distance, potentially allowing or even encouraging them to snap back together in this scrunched, out-of-register way.
So the enzyme's own structure might facilitate this unusual DNA conformation for a functional reason.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It really highlights how protein structure and function are intertwined with the dynamic behavior of the DNA itself.
And how are these major DNA rearrangements, the 6BP unwinding, the translocation, the scrunching, connected back to the enzyme's interaction with PCNA?
The study suggests that the stable, multi-point interaction between Polle and PCNA is critical. It likely drives and guides the necessary movements of the Polle domains, like that P domain tilting and the thumb domain shifting we mentioned earlier. These domain movements, orchestrated by the PCNA interaction, are what facilitate the extensive DNA unwinding and the precise translocation of the primer end. The clamp doesn't just provide precisivity, it actively shapes the proofreading pathway.
So the clamp imposes constraints that lead to this very specific, maybe even unique mechanism involving massive unwinding and refolding.
That seems to be the picture emerging from this study. It's a fundamentally different view compared to what you might see or predict for Polle operating without its essential partner, PCNA.
Okay, let's try to summarize the core findings then. This study by Dr. Wang and colleagues using cryo-EM gives us the first real glimpse of human Polle proofreading as it happens physiologically bound to PCNA, correcting an error it just made.
Right. And it reveals a mechanism constrained by PCNA.
A mechanism involving much more DNA unwinding than we thought. 6 base pairs.
And this unexpected, but functional, scrunching and out-of-register pairing of the unwound DNA strands to ensure editing precision.
It really changes the textbook picture, doesn't it?
It certainly refines it significantly and highlights the importance of studying these enzymes in their complete functional context.
So what are the broader implications here? You mentioned this likely represents the true physiological mechanism.
Yes, that's a major implication. Capturing these states with the holenzyme and the in situ mismatch strongly suggests this is how Polle proofreads in our cells, which, as we discussed, forces a reevaluation of conclusions drawn from earlier studies that lacked the clamp or used preformed errors. Those might not reflect the biological reality for this enzyme.
And what about that P domain? You mentioned it's unique to Polle. We knew it was involved in processivity and maybe helping load PCNA.
Right, but this study has a third crucial role. It appears to be actively involved in manipulating the DNA during proofreading, helping to melt it, reposition it.
Does that mean Polle's proofreading strategy might be fundamentally different from other polymerases, like Pol Delta, which replicates the lagging strand and also works with PCNA?
It's a very strong possibility. The unique P-domain's role, combined with the extensive 6-base pair unwinding and the scrunching behavior, it does suggest Polle might have evolved a distinct proofreading choreography, perhaps optimized for its leading strand duties. We'll need similar in situ studies on Pol Delta with PCNA to really know for sure how they compare.
Let's talk about the clinical side. Pulling mutations are notorious in cancer research, right? Especially mutations in the proofreading exonuclease domain.
Absolutely. Mutations that cripple the pulling exonuclease lead to a mutator phenotype. The enzyme loses its editing ability, and the mutation rate skyrockets, driving cancer development, particularly in colorectal and endometrial cancers. This is well established.
So this study obviously reinforces the importance of that exonuclease function.
It does. But it also raises another possibility. Given how crucial the stable interaction with PCNA appears to be for the entire proofreading process, the unwinding, the translocation, the strunching, it suggests that mutations that don't directly hit the exonuclease active site, but instead disrupt the key contact points between poly and PCNA, could also impair proofreading fidelity.
So weakening the poly-PCNA connection might indirectly lead to more replication errors because the proofreading mechanism itself gets derailed.
Potentially, yes. It broadens the scope of mutations within poly, or even potentially in PCNA, that could impact genomic stability and contribute to cancer. It's an important area for future investigation.
That's a really significant clinical implication. Now, going back to that fascinating DNA scrunching and out-of-register pairing, the paper linked this to replication slippage.
Yes, they speculated about a potential connection. Replication slippage is a known source of mutations, particularly insertions or deletions, that often happens in repetitive DNA sequences like long strings of the same base, sometimes called homonucleotide runs.
How might the scrunching be involved?
The idea is this. After the exonuclease removes the mismatch, the enzyme needs to reposition the now corrected primer end back into the polymerase active site to resume synthesis. If the DNA is still in that scrunched, out-of-register state from the proofreading step, especially in a repetitive region where incorrect pairings might be temporarily stable, it might be difficult for the enzyme to perfectly realign the primer and template strands before adding the next base.
So a slight misalignment during this re-engagement step could lead to adding an extra base or skipping one?
Exactly. It could manifest as an insertion or deletion error, the hallmark of replication slippage. So, ironically, a feature designed for proofreading precision might, under certain circumstances or in certain sequence contexts, contribute to a different type of error if realignment fails.
Wow, the complexity is just astounding. One process potentially influencing another.
It really shows how dynamic DNA replication is. And finally, it's worth emphasizing the power of the experimental approach itself.
Generating the mismatch in situ within the fully assembled pole clamp complex.
Yes. This methodology, now validated by Dr. Wang and colleagues for poly, provides a powerful tool. It can and likely will be applied to study proofreading by other polymerases that function with sliding clamps, like the aforementioned pole delta, or even polymerases from different organisms.
Giving us a clearer picture across the board.
Hopefully, yes. Understanding the nuances of how each enzyme ensures fidelity is crucial.
Absolutely. Okay, so to wrap up, here's a final thought for you, our listeners, to consider. We've learned about these unique aspects of the poly-PCNA proofreading mechanism, the extensive six-base pair unwinding, the active role of the P-domain in handling the DNA, this potential link between scrunching and replication slippage. Given this incredibly detailed, almost mechanistic understanding, how might this knowledge open up new avenues? Could we potentially develop novel therapeutic strategies, perhaps for cancers driven by poly mutations, by targeting not just the exonuclease activity itself, but maybe these unique structural transitions or interactions revealed in the study? Something to think about.
A very pertinent question for future research.
This episode is based on an open access article under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License, CC BY 4.0. You'll find the DOI and a link to the license in the episode description.